Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver, and we're so glad that you are with us. More than 65 million Americans right now are serving as a family caregiver. Maybe you're taking care of a child with autism. Maybe you're taking care of somebody with an addiction or alcoholism. Maybe you're taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's. Whatever the scenario, there's always a caregiver. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What's going on with you? That is the purpose of the show. I'm bringing you more than 35 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. We're glad to have you a part of the show. HopeForTheCaregiver.com if you want to learn more about what we're doing, if you want to send a comment in, if you want to ask a question, whatever's on your heart and mind, go to HopeForTheCaregiver.com. There's a little form there. Fill it out. It's optional if you want us to call you back, if you want us to call you from the show, whatever you want, go to HopeForTheCaregiver.com. Tell us what's on your heart, and we will do our best to get back to you probably on the air. That's the way we like to do it, and because if you're going through it, guess what? Somebody else is going through it, and that's how we get strong, as we learn that we're not the only one dealing with these kinds of things, and we get stronger together. Couple of things I want to give you an update on. First off, it's been a very challenging couple of weeks for both Gracie and myself as she has endured this very difficult surgery. It was successful, and we've had a few little bumps along the way since then. It's extremely painful for her. It was about a 9-hour surgery, and it was her 82nd that I could count, and they had to straighten her back up. She was bent over nearly 45 degrees, and so they have extensively reworked her spine so that she could stand up straighter, and she now has the long journey of recovery. She's tough, and she's doing well, and she's getting the absolute best care that I could ever hope for her to get, but it's just a long, painful journey for her, and we would appreciate your continued prayers. She is in the University of Colorado Medical Center in Denver area in Aurora. I had to take a brief hiatus and go back home to Montana to take care of a little bit of business and, you know, make sure everything is okay at the house and so forth, but back with her again. Due to some of the challenges that we're facing, we're going to do some things a little bit different, and I wanted to share some of those things with you. We're going to stay in our same time slot, but I probably won't be doing the show live for a while, and we'll be doing it pre-recorded about a day or two before it airs. And we've talked about this with the network. We've just got a lot of moving pieces going on with Gracie's journey and so forth. And so we'll still, you know, the show will still be like normal on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern. Of course, our affiliates don't carry the show live. That's always delayed based on where they are in their programming and so forth. But as far as American Family Radio, it normally airs live every Saturday morning. But I'll just pre-record it probably on Thursdays. And if you want to call in, there's a way for you to do that at hopeforthecaregiver.com. We're going to be doing a lot more interviews and just all kinds of special things we're going to be doing. But it just worked out a little easier for me to do this with all the moving pieces that we have going on in our life right now. And at a moment's notice, I'm having to make adjustments with her, you know, travel plans. I was supposed to do the show, for example, I was going to come back to Montana and do the show from Montana, and Southwest canceled my flight from Denver to Montana and pushed me back a day, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so until we kind of get a little bit more solid ground under our feet, so to speak, logistically, we're going to do this with your indulgence and your permission. You'll still be able to be a part of the show through our Facebook page at Hope for the Caregiver, through our website, hopeforthecaregiver.com. You know, however you wish to communicate with us, we want to hear from you. We're just not going to be doing it in a live format for a season. And I'm sure as caregivers, you understand. I mean, being flexible is a big part of our lives as caregivers. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. I don't think that's in scripture, but it sure sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So I think that you're going to enjoy what we're doing. Also, I'm going to bring back an individual that started the program with me many, many years ago when I first started in Nashville at WLAC there on Music Row. And that's John Butler, the Count of Mighty Disco, I call him. And I even came up with my own, we even gave him his own theme song when we'd introduce him, and you're going to love him a lot. He's really tall. Here's his theme song, and it always makes me laugh.
John Butler, the Count of Mighty Disco, and he's so tall.
Oh, he just makes me laugh. And so I'm looking forward to him being a part of the show in whatever way we can do. He and I launched this show for about 8 or 9 years together there in Nashville. And when I moved to Montana, he stayed with me through it, but logistically it got a little bit gnarly. And now I think I'm going to be able to bring him back. If you hear me talking to someone and they don't talk back, that's John. And he'll be a part of the show with us, and you'll enjoy his insights and his sense of humor, and recognize immediately that he really gets this journey that we're on as caregivers. And it was just such a treat to have him for so many years. And so I want to bring him back. So you'll hear me periodically talking to him. You may not hear him just yet, but you'll hear me talking to him. So just want to give you that heads up as well. Still do some music. We're going to do some songs. I'll probably do that in the next block, because I'm going to run out of time here on this A block here. But I want to just give you these logistical updates, if you don't mind, and let you know that the show has to, be flexible and adapt to the caregiving world that I live in. The difference between me and so many others that have a program for caregivers is that I'm still a caregiver, and a pretty intense caregiving world that I live in. And so I just want you to know how much I appreciate the flexibility of American Family Radio. By the way, speaking of which, at the Stand, American Family Association's magazine, The Stand, there's an interview of me in that latest issue, and you can go out online and see it, or I think they send them out for free through the mail and so forth. So please be sure to subscribe to them and get involved in what they're doing. I think you'll find the interview very meaningful, and those of you who follow the show regularly will certainly connect well with it, because you know what we've built here. We have the largest broadcast platform for family caregivers in the world, and you can thank American Family Radio for that, and the Truth Network and some others that carry it. There's American Family that took a chance on me and said, hey, you know what? We want to do this outreach to this group of people who are often ignored and overlooked, and terribly underserved. And so I appreciate them, and then they're spotlighting the program in this month's issue of The Stand. So a lot of things going on, and I appreciate the prayers, the notes, the messages, the texts, the phone calls that I've received from each of you. And I read them, and I really do, and they're very meaningful to me. I get a lot of strength and encouragement from you all doing this. You understand the journey, and you are part of our life. Gracie and I, you're our extended family. You understand the journey, and I do appreciate it very much, and I would ask for you to continue to lift both of us up in prayer, particularly Gracie, as she is struggling with this. This is a very painful thing for her to have to deal with. She will, I believe, come through this with a much better quality of life. But she's got a tough road ahead of her, and she's no stranger to tough roads. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we come back from the break and go to the next segment and so forth. But I want you to know how much I appreciate you. Appreciate this audience very much, and we're going to have a lot of fun together. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. We'll be right back.
Peter Rosenberger, he's Irish on his mother's side.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. As many of you know, Hurricane Ida devastated Louisiana in August, making landfall as a Category 4 hurricane, leaving thousands of families in need of hope. Do you know it's been 3 years since 8 Days of Hope deployed on a rebuilding trip where we help hundreds of families rebuild their homes for free? But today I've got some exciting news. We're announcing that 8 Days of Hope 17 is going to take place in Laplace, Louisiana from April 9th through the 16th, bringing hope to those who are feeling hopeless. We're going to be doing roofing and drywall, painting, and so much more. If you'd love to use your gifts to serve those in need, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com. As always, it's free to volunteer with us. Food and lodging are provided. And again, if you're looking to be the hands and feet of Jesus, join us in April when we go to Laplace, Louisiana during 8 Days of Hope 17. Again, for more information about this outreach or any arm of the ministry, go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
In 1921, George Washington Carver was asked, "Does the Bible tell about peanuts?" "No, sir," Dr. Carver replied, "but it tells about the God who made the peanut." And I asked him to show me what to do with the peanut, and he did. Dr. Carver was once asked about the secret of his success. "It is simple," he said. "It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Dr. Carver said in 1928 that Jesus said one must be born again. My purpose must be God's purpose. Why should we who believe in Christ be surprised at what God can do with a willing man in a laboratory?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
People need the Lord.
To Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. We're so glad that you're with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com is our website, and Facebook page is Hope for the Caregiver, or Hope for the Caregiver group, and then also on Instagram, I think it's Hope for Caregiver. Hope for the Caregiver. I'm not sure what it is on Instagram. I don't do that very much, but I do the other ones, and you can go out and follow along and be a part of what we are doing. I want to step over to the caregiver keyboard for just a minute. And I'm going to play an old chorus. It's actually, I'm just going to do the chorus of a song and see if you know what it is. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But I just want to just reintroduce this to some and introduce it to others. And the way it did it, the way it's written, it was, that's the melody. But I don't like doing those. I kind of soften it up a little bit for what I try to do, and I go, da, 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 da. And so the way I play that is just to slow it down and just kind of do a little walk down there. I could do it. I guess I could do that grace note. But I like doing this. I like doing the walk down. I just love that old hymn. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I was in the hospital room with Gracie just the other day, and she was struggling, and I just kind of started singing that softly to her, and she harmonized it with me, and it kind of helped distract her from the pain and distract her from all the stuff she was dealing with, and she just sang that. And that's extraordinary to think about what she lives with, what she's suffering, and yet she's hanging on to that scripture. And I wanted to share something with you. A long time ago, when our son was just a toddler, we got a call from the school, and he had fallen off of the playground equipment and busted his chin. And we took him to the pediatrician. And, you know, he was, of course, terrified. He's only like three, and he was just, you know, we got it to stop bleeding, but it needed stitches. And so I held him while they numbed him up a little bit and gave him stitches, and I just held him there. And, you know, he didn't feel the stitches because he was numb, but he was terrified. And the look in his eyes was just, oh, it just tore my heart out. This look of betrayal. Why are you doing this to me, Daddy? Why are you doing this kind of thing? He didn't have the words to articulate it and didn't have the ability to understand antibiotics and or infection or wound care or anything like that. And I just kept saying, it's okay. It's all right. I'm here. Daddy's here. And it's going to be okay. Daddy's here. It's going to be okay. And the doctor finished and he looked over at me, and he was a great pediatrician. He said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I'll be all right." And I hugged him and I just dried his tears. Well, how are we any different, really? You know, when we're going through what is the often long valley of the shadow of death that we walk in as caregivers, how are we any different? But that's what our Heavenly Father does for us. He doesn't give us the answers that we demand, but he does give us the assurance that we need. And he gives us the assurance of his presence and his love for us. And, you know, you go back to Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." But the last part of that is, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will feast at the table set for me." That's what that little song says. And I wish I could sing it better. When Gracie gets better, I'll get her to get on the show with me and sing it. But it's, you know, it's a great little chorus. And it's a great little chorus to sing in the midst of whatever. Because it just reminds us that this is not the end of the story. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And we as caregivers know what that feels like. And dark thoughts grip us as we struggle in those places with that loneliness and isolation. And we plead for somebody to tell us what to do, where to go, how to cope. Why is this happening? And those things often go unanswered and unaddressed. And instead, we're left to hear the promises of God that says he's with us in this. He's not going to abandon us. We are going to go through these things. And there's going to be some very unpleasant stuff that we have to deal with. And some of us seem to have a disproportionate sense of it. And during this last hospital stay with Gracie, I've seen some things and watched and observed some things happen that tear my heart out. And then I've seen things that strengthen my faith in ways that are unforgettable. You know, I was watching when Gracie was intubated, and she was awake for the last several hours of it as she was coming out of that. And she hates being intubated. It frightens her terribly, and it's just awful. And I knew this was coming. I mean, they had to do it, and they did it for like several days. She was unconscious and sedated for several days following the surgery. And, you know, I knew she was, when she woke up, she would just be in almost a full-fledged panic. And so when she woke up, I communicated to her that, look, just nod your head, and I will help you whatever you need. I can understand you. We'll figure this out. Do you need me to move your right arm? Do you need me to do this? Do you know, nod yes or no. And I'm just trying to keep her calm. And through that process, just assuring that I'm there. That's all I could do. I couldn't take it out of her. She couldn't take it out of her. I mean, there's nothing we could do. And we find ourselves in these moments sometimes when all we can do is just assure that I'm here. And at one point, I FaceTimed with Johnny Erickson Tata, and I held the phone over Gracie's face. Gracie's flat in the bed, which was the first time I've seen her flat in over a decade now that they've straightened out her back. And she's flat in the bed. She's intubated. She's just wild-eyed, struggling with this. And I'm holding the phone right over her face so she could see Johnny. And Johnny said, "Now, Gracie, I'm going to sing to you, and I want you to harmonize in your mind with me." And she just sang to Gracie. And Gracie just calmed down. She was able just to calm down until they got it out of her. And, of course, when they took the tube out of her mouth, the first words she yelled out were, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, and because she just truly hates that. And I was so grateful that Johnny did that for Gracie, to just help her calm down, but just assure of her presence. And most importantly, just assure her of God's presence in this, that she's not alone. She's not abandoned. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Do you know that little hymn? Maybe that's something that you could hang on to today. And in moments when it gets pretty bleak, just hum that little chorus. I did that with Gracie in the hospital room. In the midst of all her distress, she just harmonized with me. And it was beautiful to listen to her sing it. And we remind ourselves in those bleak moments of the promises of God, which we can hang on to. And I never cease to be amazed on how it calms her down in moments of great distress when she is assured of his presence with her. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Extraordinary moments. We got more to come. Hey, I want to tell you something real quick, because it really flew all over me. How many of you all use ride shares of any kind, Uber and Lyft and so forth? Well, I've been using Lyft for years. And the morning of Gracie's surgery, I left the hotel. She's already in the hospital. I'm going over there 5 in the morning. There's snow in Denver. And the driver did not properly de-ice his car. So I opened the car door, and part of the strip that was frozen along the whole side of it came off. Well, it wasn't my fault. I just opened the door. And I put the strip back in there, and he charged me $150 for that. And Lyft took it out of my account, and I wrote an appeal and said, "Hey, what's up with this?" And they wouldn't hear it. And all I did was open the guy's door. So be aware that that kind of stuff can happen to you if you're out doing stuff back and forth or whatever with rideshare. And if it's frozen and so forth, because they'll ding you with it. But all I did was open the guy's door. It's not my fault that he hadn't de-iced his car or anything else. And they just zinged me for $150. So just kind of buyer beware, consumer beware. That kind of stuff happens out there, and I don't want to see you get dinged with it either. And that was a fine howdy-do on the day Gracie was having a surgery. She'd been in surgery in 9 hours, and I get this thing on my phone that said, "Hey, you're being charged this too." And I'm like, come on. So I'm just putting that out there for you to let you know. Nobody likes surprises, particularly when we're already dealing with a lot of drama in our life. So just kind of be aware of that. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. We've got more to go. And I think I'm going to play a special song that I've never played for you guys before from Gracie, and I thought you might enjoy it today. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Trump derangement syndrome was a virus that spread like COVID.
Yeah.
And CNN decided, you know what? We're not going to do news coverage anymore. We're going to go full board against Trump.
You're driving your business in the ground.
Yeah. That's why I think they should take this opportunity and go back to doing news instead of doing progressive propaganda.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman. with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will comment and tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
A former slave trader turned pastor, a ministry-minded politician, and a former slave turned merchant. What do they have in common? The end of slavery in England, an amazing grace that only comes through Jesus Christ. I'm Charles Morris. Join me for Haven Today all week and a series called Grace Unshackled.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Last month, I came across Psalms 23 in the Bible.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
I was impressed with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It occurred to me that since Jesus is my shepherd, provider, and protector, I should not want. God is committed to the needs in our lives, not necessarily wants. Debt is taking future resources, emotionally, physically, financially, or spiritual resources, to satisfy current wants, creating a gap or a deficit, and thus creating a debt. Since Jesus is my shepherd, the one who provides and protects me, I have the ability not to be enslaved by my wants. Now that gives hope.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
I want to tell you right now, I'm not afraid to say how you put this love in my heart.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. You know, healthy caregivers make better caregivers. And the goal of this program is to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. HopeForTheCaregiver.com, HopeForTheCaregiver.com. If you'll indulge me for just a moment, I've received quite a bit of mail over the last several weeks as Gracie has been going through her challenges, and they're very meaningful things that people have sent me. I want to give a big shout out to Dr. Roderick Beeman, who in his later life here, he said, at this late stage of life, taking to songwriting, he enclosed a hymn that he's written, which was, "I Will Dwell in the House of the Lord," which is, fits in with what we're talking about today. And I appreciate that. I sat down at the piano and worked on this, and I'm going to continue to work on it until I kind of make sure I can play it well and do it justice. And so, Dr. Beeman, I'll give you some feedback on how I did with it, and hopefully maybe we play it on the show one morning, and love to do it. Thank you for this. It was beautiful sheet music. You did a great job with it. You got great some great chords in here. Those, you know how I like those chords, different chords. You got some great sharp five chords and diminished chords and all kinds of things, and so I will give it my best to work on this, and we'll hopefully feature this on the program here in the not-too-distant future. Also received another song from the Schroeders, Dale Schroeder. Oh, I'm sorry, Dale Shocker. It's called The Last Supper, and you can tell that they put a lot of work into this and doing the sheet music. And I'm a decent reader of sheet music. I do chord charts better, but I will give it my best shot, Dale and Suzanne. And so bear with me, and I'll try to work this up as well. I like to learn new music and go through it. And this is a great piece that obviously you've done a lot of work with in getting the sheet music out. And I'll see if I can do it justice. You did not put the chords on this, so I'm actually going to have to knuckle down and do the work. I'm going to have to learn how to play this, so I can't cheat with the chords, because that's normally what I do, is I just read a lead sheet with a chord chart, and I can play pretty much in any key and so forth. But if I have to actually sit down and seriously read the music and play it as written, it causes quite a bit of strain for me. My piano teachers used to, it caused a lot of strain for them too. I was not much of a sight reader, and I never really was much of a reader. I mean, I can do it, and I can write it out. I mean, I majored in composition and arranging in my degree in music. And so, I mean, I can do it, but you guys are making me work here, and that's okay because I love it, and I love to be able to work. And I've received so many kind notes from folks who express that they're praying for me. Helen Meyer from Dallas, Texas. Thank you, and for the CD that you also sent, and there's a lot of evidently music really connects with this audience, and I get more people who write me and tell me how much they appreciate me bringing the hymns back to the forefront, and I really want to try to do that more, and if you have a special hymn that you like or song that's important to you, please send it on, and I think what I'll do. Also, is I'm going to try to feature regularly Gracie or me, but I think I'm going to do Gracie for a while on her music and play some songs of hers that you may not have heard. You've heard a lot of, in the bumper music and so forth, but there's some other recordings that I think that you'll find meaningful as well. And, you know, I've said this often, Hans Christian Andersen, he once said, "When words fail, music speaks." And I really believe that. And obviously it speaks to you all. And I can just play a few bars of a particular hymn that you like that has been meaningful to you. And it takes you back to that point when you were sitting with your loved one or at the funeral or when you were a child and being raised and this hymn meant something to you. These are treasured things for us to hold on to. Martin Luther, often said that music next to the word of God, nothing expresses and exalts the soul more than music. And I really believe that. And surprisingly, I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, Bach, 200 years later, was one of Luther's most avid pupils, even though he, of course, never met him. It was 200 years later. But Bach is considered the father of church music. And the way he wrote his music was very much in line with order and accomplishment. It's extraordinary. And he would sign it SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, one of the five pillars of the Reformation. And all of church music has its roots in Bach. And so if you go back and play some of these pieces that he wrote and you look at it and the way it flows and the theology that he would put with the ones that he did with lyrics and singers and so forth, it was extraordinary. And so the hymnal that we have in our churches is a sadly overlooked treasure of comfort, of strength, of fortitude, of great doctrine, of assurance, of all the wonderful things that sustain us during brutal journeys. And yet it's often so overlooked, and that's a shame. And some people do these for sentimental reasons, and I get that. There's a lot of nostalgia with hymnals and with the hymns of the church. But while I'm in Denver with Gracie, I can't spend the night at the hospital because of COVID. They don't let me do that, and some friends of mine opened up their home. I knew these wonderful people when they were dating back in college. We went to school together at Columbia Bible College, is now Columbia International University. And I remember when they started dating back in, you know, the early 80s, you know, so I've known them a long time. Wonderful couple. Well, we were all in a choir there that traveled from the university called the Ambassador Choir. And Anita, who is also from South Carolina like I am, she sang alto. Phil sang bass. I don't remember what I sang. Anita sang alto, Phil sang bass, Peter just tried to fit on in there. I don't know what I sang back then, but I was playing the piano at their home and Anita was just singing these great hymns, and I'm looking forward to a Gracie being able to join us and the two of them blend together. I know that Anita went to visit Gracie in the hospital the day I couldn't go, and they sang together. And but it reminded me of those times when I was in chapel back at Columbia Bible College, and you know, you had 1,000 people singing with gusto and in parts these wonderful hymns of the faith. Well, what does that have to do with being a caregiver? Well, for me, it has a lot to do with being a caregiver, because I was asked recently, how do you grieve? A friend asked me that, and I said, I grieve at the piano. And they said, well, we had you on our playlist, and you came up. We were listening on our playlist on our phone, and you came up, and they said to themselves, this is a man who knows how to hurt. He knows what hurt feels like, the way I play. And that's how I process out the things that I carry and the things that I have to observe as a caregiver. It's got to go someplace. Okay? It's got to go someplace. And God, in his gracious mercy, gave me the ability to perform music. And I don't know, maybe it's all part of, you know, it's always part of the plan. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that. I just know that he provides us where he guides, he provides. Where he leads, he feeds. And our souls need that. And I look at friends of mine who are visual artists who paint. And I'm stunned by what they do. The expression that they put in it. I look at friends of mine who garden, and they have these exquisite gardens, the way they have plants. And in fact, I was over at Anita and Phil's house, and they had the beautiful Christmas cactuses. You know, they were beautiful. And she was so good with all the plants. And I don't have a green thumb. I have a black thumb. I kill plants. It's just really sad. And then I look at people who write poetry, and I'm amazed on what they do with language, how they express themselves. And then I look at people who do things with their hands, with woodworking and carpentry. And I look at the things that they build, and I'm like, wow, well, what an extraordinary expression. And, you know, from everything, I've seen people do tremendous works of art with what I would consider junk, and they'll make things that are exquisite. And they've just got this eye. My brother-in-law is that way. My sister's husband, he can take things that I would just never figure this out in a million years, and he makes the most wonderful, beautiful things. If you go into my sister's home, I mean, it's just like, oh my goodness. I mean, everything he does is just mind-blowing. I don't even have the words. And so I think that in all of us, we have the ability to process out what we're feeling in various ways. And as caregivers, I cannot stress enough the importance of that. What do you do? How do you process this out? I understand the grief that you carry as a caregiver. What do you do to process this out? What is demanding that it come out of you, and how do you express it in a way that is soul satisfying to you? And I'd really like to hear that. So many of you all have expressed music. I get a lot of people call in. Oh, they play the piano, or they play the guitar or flute or whatever. And there's so many musicians, but I'd like to hear from others as well. There are people that restore cars. That I look at these older cars. My friend Steven's that way, and he restored a 1983 Mercedes sedan. And I'm like, how did you do all this? How did you learn this? And he likes to do it. And so I think as caregivers, those places that we can go and express our hearts, however that looks, to work out the kinks in our soul, that's so important. For me, it's music, and that's why I talk about it a lot, because I can't do the things that other people do. And I am grateful that I have a place to do it. I'd like to hear what yours is. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. You can go out there, and there's a little form you can fill out. Tell me what you do. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. Hey, look, we got to take a quick break. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. We're so glad that you're with us.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. The fastest growing crime in America and across the world is sex trafficking. We're talking about millions of lives every day, even children. Do you know the average age of a child who is trafficked is 12 years old? I know it's not a fun subject to talk about, but God has called the church to take its blinders off and help end this human tragedy. 8 Days of Hope is decided to be a part of that solution. God's opened up a door for us to partner with existing ministries, and that's where we bring skilled volunteers to renovate, rebuild, or remodel facility for survivors to receive the emotional, physical, and spiritual healing they need. If you're skilled in any trade and you want to use your gifts for a greater purpose, please contact us at safehouse@8daysofhope.com. We would love for you to join us on our next project. For more information about the ministry of 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Raising Godly Boys with Mark Hancock.
Have you heard about Generation Z? No, it's not some new boy band. It's a label applied to those born between 1997 and 2012. Many people look at today's Generation Z as media-obsessed teenagers who are lazy, cynical, unambitious. But this stereotyping fails to reveal the clever, creative, and compassionate way these teens are influencing their communities. Many times, they simply haven't been inspired to set goals and achieve their dreams. Sometimes, they simply haven't had a good role model to push them forward. Are you inspiring your son to achieve worthwhile goals? While it's commendable to be a success in sports and academics, it's even more important that your son follow the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. For more encouragement, visit TrailLifeUSA or RaisingGodlyBoys.com.
Find free resources to help you at RaisingGodlyBoys.com. RaisingGodlyBoys.com.
If you ever hooked up your dog to your wife's wheelchair just to see if it would work.
You know, here's the problem with this, Peter. It's like redneck jokes. As I go, you're not making this up. You've actually done that one.
I have footage.
All right, then that makes you a caregiver with issues.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. I'm glad that you're with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. Are you taking advantage of our podcast? Please do. Free. We've got well over 600 episodes. We're the largest podcast for caregivers in the world, and you'll find a variety of things in there. Just sometimes I do these little Your Caregiver Minutes that you'll hear, and that's exactly what they are. Just, you know, a minute just to talk about a thought that I had of something that helps me in the moment. And my audiobook is available as well, and so is the print version, the Kindle version, all that kind of stuff. Please take advantage of this. I really recommend the audiobook a lot because sometimes it's good just to be able to hear a voice that speaks in your language. And I do. I speak fluent caregiver. I got a call from a guy this week down in San Antonio looking for a support group down there and asked if I could recommend one. Well, I don't know of any. That's kind of the problem we're having around, you know, for caregivers is that we don't have those kinds of places for us. We have support groups for various diseases and things such as that and all. But when it comes to just a support group for caregivers, I started one out here where we live and we meet every week and we have a great group and it's all about building us up as family caregivers. It's not about caregiving. I'm not here through this program or through anything else I do to get into the task of caregiving. Now we're going to have to learn some things. We need training. A lot of us, particularly when we're dealing with ongoing medical issues, like I do, and like this gentleman from San Antonio, his wife has a bunch of stomach issues and so forth, that gastro issues that they're going to require nursing type care. So it's, we have to get that kind of training. But when it comes to a support group, it's not about training in that sense, to learn a task. It's about taking a moment, catching your breath, building ourselves up so that we can have the fortitude to endure this. And so that's what this program is. That's what my podcast is. That's what my books are. Everything I can do to help settle our hearts down, not just yours, mine. I have to read my own book. I have to listen to my own show. My sister, when I was in the hospital with Gracie, she said, hey, look, these are your words. You know, that's kind of embarrassing. But I, the truth of it is that I have caregiver amnesia. And I got to be reminded of these things. I have gospel amnesia. I have to be reminded of the great redeeming love of Christ each and every day. We all do. And if our heart is a train wreck, what kind of caregiving are we going to do? I mean, think about that. So the point of all that I'm trying to do on this program, recognizing that there aren't support groups out there for us, is to provide a place where you can come and hear in your own language as a caregiver things that help settle you down today, point you to safety, help you take a knee if you have to, take a break, and develop a better way to live a healthier life. I'm not here to help you or me get happy. Okay? Happiness is an elusive goal that the world throws at us. We want to feel good all the time. Well, you and I both know that's not going to happen when you're in the caregiving journey. You're going to have trauma and drama on a regular basis. So the goal can't be to be happy as long as you're dealing with regular trauma and drama. But the goal can be to be healthy. Healthy emotionally, physically, fiscally, financially, spiritually, relationship-wise, professionally, all those things that help us better handle the tremendous challenges that we face as caregivers. And it's going to come out of nowhere sometimes. It's going to just hit us out of the blue. And so what I try to do is offer things that I've learned. I try to stay away from my opinion because my opinion is worthless. But my experience is not. And if you think about it, that's really a biblical principle. Think about what he says in Revelation. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, not the word of their opinion. I don't need other people's opinion. I consult trained professionals about the logistics of certain things with Gracie, but I don't need their opinion as far as how to do this and this and this as a caregiver. What I need to hear is from people who've done it, what they've learned, and the pitfalls that I can avoid, and then how to pick myself back up, you know, when I do fall, and what strengthens me, what helps clear my head so that I can make clearer decisions, better decisions. Clarity of thought is critical for us as caregivers. How many of you all feel like your thoughts are clear? And how many of you see how easy it is for them to become muddied up? I mean, it's like it takes no time at all for our minds just to freak out. And it's usually fear, obligation, and guilt. The fog of caregivers. So you'll hear me pound that one a lot because that's where we live as caregivers. I wanted to end the show today with a song from Gracie. A friend of mine said, you know what, why don't you play, you know, one of her, just the whole song on your show, because, you know, people haven't heard a lot of these things. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll do that and see if you like it. This is one that she recorded a while back, and I just love it. I love the chords, the arrangements, everything about it. And it's written by Keith Green, and it is one of the, you know, my favorite songs of his. I always liked it, and I brought it to Gracie and said, would you like to sing this song? And she really connected with it, as you'll hear. So this is my wife, Gracie. She's going to end the show today. So thank you all very much for being a part of this. Thank you for your continued prayer for her recovery as she goes through this very difficult challenge in her life. And thank you for your flexibility with me. This is my wife, Gracie. And if you want to see more about it, you can go out to hopeforthecaregiver.com.
passes by, I feel my love run dry. I get so weary, worn, and tossed within the storm. Well, I'm blind to others' needs, and I'm tired of planting seeds. I seem to have a wealth of so many thoughts about myself. I want to, and I need to be more like Jesus. I want to, and I need to be more like Him. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a Jesus. I want to, and I've got to be more like Him. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. For a friend.